removing that barrier and showing them that link, that's really what drives me now. Like, that's why I do what I do. And that's why, you know, work is hard. That it would be very disingenuous if I say it's not. But at the end of the day, we still do it, and it doesn't feel hard. It doesn't feel, you know, like grind anymore.
You're listening to the Woman of Value podcast. You are about to hear the story of a woman who is following her dreams and passions and creating positive change in the world.
My guest today is Jean Tien. She is a professional speaker, an author, and the creator of the Success Method. She is passionate about empowering and supporting executive women who are ready to disrupt the status quo and uplevel their success without all the hustle and grind. She is also the host of the podcast Being Unapologetically Authentic. When she's not working with clients or speaking at events, she loves taking road trips with her family to find the best ice cream stand after spending the day outdoors enjoying the local parks. Welcome to the show, Jean.
Thanks so much, Sandy, for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I love the whole idea of having success without all the hustle and grind. So many people are just work, work, work. Many of my clients come to me, they're just exhausted, burnt out, and they're just working really hard, but it doesn't have to be that way. So let's start with woman of value. What does a woman of value mean to you, Jean?
I love this question because I think it means so many different things to people. I think for me, to be a woman of value is to be able to contribute back to society and or any of the organizations that I work with and for. And so to really be able to leave wherever I am in a better state than when I first arrived.
I love that. Leave wherever you are in a better state than when you first arrived. So, yeah, and I think, say a little more about how you get to a place where you can contribute to charitable organizations or to society, because that requires a level of success, right?
It does. But I think that the level of success that would automatically come to mind is not necessarily the level of success that's needed to be able to contribute to charities or to the organization, to any organization, quite honestly. We can always contribute with our time. We can contribute with our wits and our intelligence. We can contribute with our own personal experiences. And I think this is one of the reasons why I love what I do in terms of speaking and coaching, because that is where it comes in from, in terms of being able to contribute to the success of those areas. And what I mean by that is that sometimes I think we downplay our own personal experiences, the challenges, and also being able to cross the bridge from those challenges and get to the other side. Those are powerful lessons and wisdom that we've gained that, quite frankly, money can't be attached to it. There is no monetary value that you can really attach to it. So I can either donate $1 million or I can donate the wisdom that I've gained that will be able to bring aha moments and to bring ease and joy into other people's lives. And, you know, that is just as valuable. And personally, I think a little more valuable, and the way that I want to be able to contribute and add value to others than, you know, that money can bring as well.
I like what you said. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of how I am as a parent, where I would rather contribute to my kids' emotional well-being and spend time with them and be present than give them a whole lot of gifts and have it just be thrown away, right?
Yeah, exactly.
How many kids do you have?
I have two. One, my oldest is 11 and my youngest is turning 7 this summer.
Oh, wow. Mine are big. I have grandchildren who are 8, 5, and 2.5. Yeah.
So they're good.
Thank you. It's the bonus of raising your children is to get to be with one of your children's children. and not have to go through all the sleepless nights and the hard things. You get to enjoy them.
Oh, yes.
It's without all the hard stuff. So it's really, it's just such an amazing thing. So let's get into your story and how you got to where you are today, because you weren't always in this place. How did you step into your value and become this person who is influencing other people?
It's almost like your typical story, but maybe with a twist at the end, which is that point in the road or that juncture in the road where I decided to take a different route. And so I am the firstborn daughter of Asian immigrants. My parents brought us here from Taiwan when I was only 4 years old. My brother was literally just born, so he was months old. And they came with a very strict regimen of what it means to be successful and what it was required to be able to establish themselves. And having gone through it themselves, right, of like establishing financial stability, of being able to rise to the top of wherever it is that we wanted to go. They came with very strong ideas of what I needed to be and when I grew up so that I could achieve the American dream that they had sacrificed so much for. And up until about 5 years ago, I was fully on board. I actually didn't know that there were any other possibilities or any other choices except for the ones that were presented to me. And so I got great grades in school. I went to an Ivy League university. I got my professional degree, all of which my parents really asked me to do. And I was happy to do them. And then I 5 years ago, I woke up and it was a very uncomfortable feeling for a very long time. I was never truly like ecstatic or excited to be in corporate. I always felt like I could do more. But 5 years ago, I woke up and even though I was doing really well in my career, I knew it wasn't it. I woke up asking myself and my husband, really, because he would take me to the train station in the mornings, and I would just be so frustrated and asking, like, is this really all there is to life? Like, is this the cycle that I have to live for the rest of my life? And I couldn't imagine having to do this rinse and repeat cycle for the next 50, 60, 70 years. It was just, it didn't sit well with me. And then so it prompted me, however, and this level of discomfort prompted me to go out and to look for solutions to this pain, this frustration that I was experiencing. And that's when I found spirituality as a solution. And when I say spirituality, yes, I found the woo-woo side of spirituality, but I also found what is even more important is the personal self-development side. And by investing in myself, what I've been able to see is that there have been other possibilities that I had never known existed, that I never knew would be even available to me, because I was so focused. I had my blinders on in terms of what I needed to do and who I needed to be. I didn't see all of these other opportunities and possibilities that could exist for me until I started this road of like private investigation, if that makes sense. And that was when things started to feel better, when I started to see what my purpose is, there wasn't that sense of frustration anymore. There was more, it was replaced slowly. I mean, it wasn't an overnight thing, but it was very much slowly replaced by excitement. And, you know, I used to hate Sunday nights because it meant that Mondays I would have to go to work. I get excited by Sunday nights. You know, it's not always, but it certainly isn't the dread that I used to feel. And so in these steps forward, I realized that this is the stuff that so many of us go through because we think there's only one way. We think we're a victim of the hand that we're dealt, when in reality, we have so much power over the way that our lives can go. And when we realize that, that really is that big shift in life for me and in my own happiness and joy.
You went from one way where your parents kind of programmed you into this, their definition of success, which meant
Exactly.
Just really doing well at school and going to Ivy League and hitting all those marks and then going into corporate, and you're almost like a cog in a wheel and you have no idea that there was a choice until suddenly you wake up and go, oh my God, I'm not happy. I can't imagine doing all this for the rest of my life. And so you found spirituality, found self-development, and then I'm wondering what happened next, because you obviously went on a different career path and became excited for Mondays. What were you looking forward to on Mondays?
Sharing. I was so excited to be able to start working on my business, not because it was a business or because of the income that would come with a business. Yeah, that's exciting. But more about the sharing aspect, the education aspect and inspiration of others to be able to live a more fulfilling life, to be able to live a life without the hustle, without the grind, without the overwhelm. And yeah, you have the hard work, but then when the hard work is attached to your purpose and your passion, and as cliche as that sounds, because we hear it all the time, it is so true, is that when there's a purpose for everything that we do, rather than just for the fact that we do it, right? Or we're expected to do it, life is a very different experience. And so it became a matter of showing others who are ready and willing that they can actually succeed even more without any of the sacrifice. Because I think so many of us, and I don't know, Sandy, if you've heard this from your clients too, is that we've put our head down and we've worked so hard. And so many of us, you know, with everything that's happening, we put 40, 50, 60 hours or more into our jobs, and we can't even imagine doing more because we're already so exhausted, right? And especially for women, we have not only our 60-hour, 70-hour careers a week, right? We have our home life. We have our kids. We have the family. We have the household. It's literally like 100 hours that you have to put into a week, and you don't have that much time because you have to sleep and rest and do all this stuff too. And, you know, and I think when you think about, there's so many others out there that think like, I know there has to be more, but then they're just like, well, I just can't find the time. I can't find the energy. I can't find, you know, I can't imagine having to like output more of myself because I don't have more to give. Then they don't follow their dreams. Then they stop. Then they settle for what they've already been dealt, what they've already achieved. And then they kind of live in resentment that they've never been able to, you know, to be able to really reach their fullest potential, right? They know deep down that they have more to give. And so that, removing that barrier and showing them that link, that's really what drives me now. Like, that's why I do what I do. And that's why, you know, work is hard. That it would be very disingenuous if I say it's not. But at the end of the day, we still do it. And it doesn't feel hard. It doesn't feel, you know, like grind anymore.
Yeah, no, I totally can relate to that. I actually haven't worked in a grind and hustle job since my 20s. Until I got married, I worked to pay the bills. I worked in jobs that I didn't love, but they were 9 to 5. They were, somebody else was paying me, and I got a paycheck, and I was able to live in Manhattan and have a really fun life. And when I got married, my husband said, you know, you're an amazing artist. You should really just do your art, quit this job. This is it's draining you. You're not reaching your potential. And he was a comedian, and we wrote comedy together. We did all kinds of fun things. So I worked hard. I worked my job, his job, raised the family, but it was always energizing work and not draining work. And when I got divorced and I became a life coach and then a dating and relationship coach and a women's empowerment coach, all of this work is incredibly energizing. So I totally get it. I work hard, but I don't feel drained at all. I'm excited to work. I look forward to work. So, but there's a little gap that's missing for me in your story.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm wondering still how you got from, you know, all of this self-development to becoming who you became, like, you know, the speaker, the author, the creator of the Success Method. Did you go back to school? Did you become a certified coach? Like, what was your next step to transition into this new business?
It's so funny. I wish I had something fancy to say to that, but I didn't. I literally just said, I want to show other people how to do this. And so I just started promoting myself as a coach. I started applying to be a speaker. And quite frankly, the pandemic was a great opportunity to do that because so many events became virtual. So there were so many opportunities and more opportunities to be a virtual speaker and to be able to share with that. And as we're going back, you know, quote unquote, normal in terms of having more in-person events, I'm doing more of that as well. And so it's just that decision to do it and knowing that I could do it, that's how I decided and that's how I shifted into doing what I do today. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I didn't go back. I never went back for a certification. And I have my own personal views with regards to to all of, you know, the certifications, et cetera. But I think that it isn't always necessary to get a certification in order to be a coach.
I was just talking about this with a good friend of mine who's a coach and she's not certified and I am certified. And she said, I'm thinking about maybe getting certification. What do you think? And where did you get certified? And I told her and she looks it up. She goes, oh, that's really expensive. And I said, yeah, at the time I was married and my husband paid for it. And it felt like the only way to go for me. But I said to her, you don't need certification. You don't need 100 degrees to do what you need to do. I think this holds people back in many ways. I'm grateful for my certification. I'm grateful for my education. But the truth is, I learn the most by working in the field, by being with clients, by experiencing what it is to help people through the issues that they're stuck in and help them to see that they're a choice. And in fact, I am about to publish my second book called Choice Points in Dating, because so many people think they have no choice. They have to be the way they are because of the way they were raised, because of their economic situation, because of their family background. And I think you would probably agree with me. I believe that we are only limited by our own limiting beliefs.
Absolutely. We always have a choice. So I'm so glad you're releasing that and sharing that with the public.
I just heard that I don't have a choice too many times. And I was like, I got to write a book about this because we always have choices. So tell us, let's take us to the present, where your businesses is today, besides your business. Like, give us a window into what's happening in your life.
Yeah. So I think one thing that has come out of the pandemic, which has been amazing, or one of the things that has been amazing, is that it's really allowed for me to reevaluate my business to see where it would like for, you know, and to see where it would like to go. And I say it, meaning the business, not necessarily where I would like for it to go, because I've tried that route when I first established it, believing that I had to be a coach first. But I'll be honest, it was a very challenging path for me because no matter what I did, no matter what I tried, it wasn't necessarily working as well as, you know, copy ads would guarantee or provide or whatever, right? And so as I started to look at my business, what I was doing more of, what brought me excitement, I actually evolved my business to be more, to focus on the professional speaking aspect of the business as an 80% of the business, and then to do the coaching as well. But the coaching is a lot more focused. It's a lot more direct. And right now it is on a one-on-one basis, although I am creating a small group mastermind specifically for women who are ready to take their success to that next level without the sacrifice that they think they have to make in order to get there. So, it's just constantly evolving. And as I'm sure you've seen in your business too, Sandy, it never stays the same, right? It's always moving and evolving along with you, especially since you're the business owner.
Right. I mean, I think one of the most important things to remember if you are an entrepreneur and you want to have your own business is to be able to have that perspective and to see, not to be so attached to everything that you do, be able to have perspective and say, okay, this is working really well. I want to do more of this. I want to do less of this. I have reworked programs so many times. And also I do a lot of polling with my audience. I have a large Facebook group of about 3,600 women. So I will run polls in there sometimes and find out, what are you interested in? What do you want to know more of? And so for me, the business really evolved into more communication skill building courses and boundaries courses, because I found that those were two areas that people really struggled with. And it's an area that I personally love teaching and love learning and practicing.
That's amazing. And those are two very important areas too, for all different reasons as well.
Yeah. So you touched on the future a little bit. If you have any bigger vision for the future, you talked about starting a mastermind. Any ideas about where you want to go?
Yeah. So I am currently writing my first book, and so I'm very excited about it. Hopefully I'll be in a position soon to be just like you and write my second book shortly thereafter. But what I've noticed through my coaching and through speaking with others and learning from others too, is that I have a very specific process to be able to get my clients to those aha moments. And so the book is actually very much about taking that and taking the success method that I use, first of all, putting a name to it, and then being able to educate others in a very format and process driven way, an organized way. And with regards to the speaking, you know, as crazy as it may sound, I would love to inspire millions of individuals and kind of take Tony Robbins to that next level, right? I think Tony Robbins is a very specific energy. I would love to bring that forward into a very different energy and to promote, you know, not just the hustle and the force and, you know, I don't know Tony Robbins that well, but, you know, kind of taking his energy and maybe make it a little softer, but same impact, same inspiration, and really bringing out and helping others to bring the best out for themselves.
If you have ever played small to make other people feel comfortable, or maybe stayed in a bad relationship or job too long because you didn't think you could do any better, I wrote a book for you. It's called Becoming a Woman of Value: How to Thrive in Life and Love. Each of the 30 chapters contains a life lesson, a story, and an exercise to bring you closer to reaching your full potential. Becoming a Woman of Value is available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle. All right, we're going to head into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Yeah, excited.
Okay. Fill in the blank. I used to think I wasn't blank enough.
There isn't even one word to fill in that. There is, I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't rich enough. There's so many different things that can go in there, but it's just, I think simply, I used to think that I wasn't enough or lucky enough to get to where I want to go.
Yep. I can relate. What was the number one thing that was holding you back from becoming a woman of value?
Myself. And my culture, as crazy as that may sound. I think the expectations that we hold of ourselves, thinking this is the person who I need to be, who I should be, and that comes a lot from culture, that comes a lot from society and what we've been taught, that really had held me back for so many years. I would say for at least 40 years. And it's only been, you know, a relatively recent event where I've stepped outside of myself to allow myself to be a woman of value.
I don't think, you know, the culture piece is not foreign to most people, because I think we're all products of our culture, whether we've grown up in a typical American home, you know, with a white picket fence, and we've been brought up in certain ways, but we all have the values of our parents, and it's often very different from who we become if we're paying attention. And so I think that we all need to pay attention to culture. You know, I think about people like you whose parents came from another country and had a certain idea about success. But I think, yeah, I grew up in an Orthodox Jewish home, and my parents had an idea about how I should be as an adult. And I am not that person. I don't think that they, I don't think I was a big disappointment, but I certainly did not do everything they wanted me to be and do. And I think that's definitely the way I encourage my children, is to have a voice and to be a choice, to know who they are and to find themselves. And I'm sure you're probably doing the same with your kids, having grown up with your family, like really wanting your kids to have a different experience.
That is the goal. Although reality and theoretical is sometimes in tension with each other, but that, yes, it's, and I think, you know, I am so lucky that they're in my lives to be able to, you know, for them to teach me in the same way that I'm able to teach them, in terms of really being clear and in alignment with not only my actions, but with my beliefs as well. Because when you start to put things into reality, it doesn't always go as well as you think it would.
Yeah, no, totally. But I think, you know, you bring your values, you bring what you hope that they will learn from you. And then at some point you have to let go and they become who they're going to become.
Yep.
All right. Next question. What is the best advice you can give to a woman who wants to become more empowered?
Be more empowered. Just be more empowered. Take that first step that they think they're not capable or that they can't do or do well, and do that. Because I think once you get over that fear of failure or fear of judgment or whatever it is that they have created, you know, the story that they can't be this person, they will soon start to see the story start to crumble up around them and say, and they'll see it. They'll say, like, wait, why did I think I couldn't do that? I could always do that. It was just me not being willing to take that first step and just be that person.
Yeah. It's always the first step, right? People think, oh, it's so many steps. I don't know how I'm going to get to the top of the staircase. And it's just take that first step.
Exactly. One by one.
Yes. I love that. What advice would you give to your younger self?
For me, it's always about being confident in who I am and not allowing others to dictate who I think I am or my worth. And that was very much a large part of my childhood growing up. You know, I think common example, or maybe not so common outside of the Asian demographics, but in, you know, growing up, I tan very easily. I'm darker skinned. And in Asia, being of like milk skinned or milk colored skin is ideal for beauty. So that's like what they promote. And then so, you know, I would always get, oh, you get so dark. Can't you just stay outside and not get under the sun and don't get so dark? You know, your cousin is so pretty because she has milk colored skin. And so, but yet, you know, the dark skin suits me. It is what brings me a healthy look. And it, that's not something that I accepted until, you know, later on in my life, when I said, I don't have to conform to these ideas of beauty, these ideas of being female, these ideas of being a mom or an employee, all of these ideas that I grappled with because I struggled so hard to be them, but I could never do it. And because I could never meet those random expectations, quite honestly. I always thought I was broken. And I thought I couldn't conform, so I must be broken. Like, what is wrong with me? And I guess, so for my younger self, it's just to remind her and tell her, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. You were built and designed just like this for a specific reason. And, you know, no two people would really, I mean, even twins, they don't really look the same if they're identical. So no two people are meant to be the exact same.
Yeah, we spend so many years trying to be something that we're not and conform to something that is not us. And oh my God, I mean, my 8-year-old granddaughter was telling her mother about somebody who was fat and somebody who was skinny and beautiful. And then she's 8. And my daughter was like, so upset that she's already getting this message from school, from her friends. It's like, we have to really work at helping people love themselves and feel their own inherent worth. Yeah.
And it starts that young. It's, you know, because we were talking before about the choices and expectations and culture specifically, but I think it even goes back to, because I'm doing research on my book, and even the colors that are given to us to wear have a specific meaning. So from the day that you're born, you're already told, like, this is how you're supposed to behave. And so, you know, it isn't easy, but it certainly is doable when we start to see these stories unravel around us in terms of how we're supposed to behave and how we're supposed to think and how we're supposed to conform and all that other stuff.
Yeah. It's a good point about the colors and the toys and the clothing that our parents put on us, and don't play with this, play with that. Don't do this. Don't hang out with that person. Oh, yeah. The next question, I love this question. What is something that people often get wrong about you?
I have a tendency to just speak what's on my mind for the most part. And I don't mince words. You know, I do watch what I say often, but I don't mince words, especially if I am very emotional about something. And I think people mistake that for animosity or for negativity or, you know, being, disagreeable. When I think it's interesting, right? Because we talk about culture and expectations and allowing yourself to be just who you are. I think people mistake my willingness to be verbal as being disagreeable, et cetera, whereas it's really sometimes just a matter of sharing opinions, having a conversation, having a dialogue. I don't know what else to say about that.
Well, it sounds like when you're passionate about something, you can come across to some people as disagreeable or negative, but it's you just expressing your truth. Right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. I personally prefer that to, you know, trying to be nice to everybody and just agree with everyone. Yeah. I think we all need to have our voice. And finally, Jean, how would you like to be remembered?
For my passion, that is definitely something I would love to be remembered. And for the change that I have triggered. Now, I don't know if I will ever fully see the change take place in my lifetime, but I would love to be remembered for the change that I've started. You know, and I don't ever compare myself to Rosa Parks or any of the other amazing activists out there. And I'm certainly not calling myself an activist, but these women, these individuals were so brave to go out there and speak their truth, be a value, make change. And that to me would be amazing to be remembered. Like,
awesome. I love that you talk about the start of big change. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've already created change and you will continue to create change in your lifetime.
Thank you. I hope so.
So Jean, tell our audience the best way to reach you. Like, give us one link and everything else will be in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So they can reach me on my website, and that is jeantien.com. And if they ever need to reach, you know, find out more about what I do or contact me, they can do that all through my website.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us and for being a catalyst of change and helping people to inspire them to know that they don't have to stay stuck where they are and they don't have to equate hard work with success, but that you can actually achieve success without all the grind and the hustle.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Sandy. I loved having this conversation with you.
If you would like to step more fully into your value, grab a free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Becoming a Woman of Value on my website, thewomanofvalue.com. Just click the link at the top of the homepage. And if you haven't already done so, be sure to click the subscribe button in your listening app. And if there's something in this episode that inspired you, please share it with others, because the more we share these inspirational stories, the more women of value we will have in this world. I'll see you next time.